But the teller from he wanted $4,500. He took the money. I'm talking about a religious brother. He's in some church this morning. Not here, though. I don't think he's got it. He took the money, and later on, the teller found out that she made a mistake and kind of sought to track him down. And up to Friday, 5 o'clock, he hadn't showed back up at the bank. Personal integrity comes out of your private devotion to Jesus Christ, the God that you serve and love. So Daniel's conviction number three, Daniel's courage. Now when he learned that the decree had been published, he went to his home, to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he prayed. Now, this is when the king passed this law. That, listen, you cannot pray to Jehovah God if you're in Babylon. Cannot. It's illegal to pray to Jehovah in Babylon. But because of his conviction, commitment, he had the courage to say, listen, I am a law-abiding citizen, but if you're going to fool with my relationship with my God, I ain't listening to you. Now, do what you want to do with me, but I'm going to take a stand regardless of what it costs me. Do we have those persons still around today? The capacity to stand up. The courage to live out your conviction. And courage means that there are times when you're going to have to stand alone. And that's not easy. You know how easy it is to go with the crowd? 95% of the people who are in trouble today, you know, they weren't following their own conviction. They were following the crowd, and they would tell you. How many of us have the courage to simply say no? The courage to say, well, listen, I'm not going to do it. The courage to say, well, regardless, take the job. The courage to stand alone. Courage to suffer for his conviction. And isn't it interesting to note that sometimes, you know, you would think if you're taking a stand for righteousness, God is going to make everything around you smooth and perfect. That ain't true. Sometimes when you take a stand and say, well, no, I'm not going to compromise, you're the one that they tell to go home. We don't want you around here anymore. But that's but a small price to pay. See, life is a journey. And if you do it right now, you're going to meet something positive down the road. The courage to rely on his God in spite of. He's committed to doing the right thing. I was at a social event with some non-residents. And this is what I heard into my own hearing. Well, you know, I was told before I came to Freeport that everything you want to get done in the Bahamas, you could buy your way through. And I stood there. It wasn't a pleasant situation. But that was the perception by someone from outside of our community. That if you're prepared to pay the right price, you can get anything done. And I'm saying, well, he don't know this crowd that I was going to be preaching to today, because we are the exception, mind me, fooling around with that. Amen? Good. I can move on then. But the courage to swim against the tide, the courage to be able to say, no, I'm not going to do it. The courage to say, I'm going to be different even if it costs me. The courage to say, I'm not going to compromise my own values and standards. What's that challenge that you are faced with right now? Maybe on your job, maybe in your community, maybe in a relationship. Do you have the courage to say, well, you know, I'm a Christ follower and I can't cross that line? And we hear all the time, you know, well, everybody is doing it. So what? Why not be the exception? Daniel took a stand, went against what the king wanted him to do. Not drink the wine, not eat the meat, and he refused to succumb to the idol gods of Babylon. And you know what happened to him. They put him in a den with lions, and they figure it's the end. It was the end. But see, when you're committed to doing the right thing, even if they finish you off physically, you know, you're not done. And we have many contemporary figures that have suffered for their conviction. Some few months ago, they celebrated 50 years of Dr. King's speech on Washington. Think of Martin Luther King. Took a stand against racism. Young man in the prime of his life. A wife, four children. And because of his conviction and his courage, he was assassinated. I think at 38 years old. Nelson Mandela in South Africa, because he took a stand against apartheid, went to prison for 27 long, 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 long years. So there's a price to be paid when you take a courageous stand. But if they had succumbed to the pressure, you know, I was not going to be calling Martin Luther King's name, they would have been on Nelson Mandela. We are here talking about Daniel because Daniel took a stand. Now, I believe that there were many of his contemporaries in Babylon, his age, from his country, that didn't do that, but we don't know who they are. It didn't make a difference. Finally, as we conclude this morning, Daniel's compensation. Chapter 1, verse 15. You remember when they threw him in the den with lion? And you know what happened? The lion became his friend. Ain't that something? The lion became his friend. Not only was he in the den with the lion, but he was having fellowship with God. Brothers and sisters, when you do the right thing, you're never alone. There's a God that would stand for you. And I don't understand sometimes why he would not protect us from going into the den with the lion, or why he wouldn't protect us from the furnace. But I do understand one thing, and I've proven it over and over and over and over again. Even when we walk through the valley and the shadow of death, he will never leave you or forsake you. He is going to be with you even to the end of the age. So Daniel had a special fellowship even in the den with the lions. So if you're feeling alone or if you're suffering for taking a stand, God is with you. So he had special fellowship. He had special favor because God showed up. And you know, later down he, you know what happens after that lion experience. And then he had a special force. That simply means that the lion couldn't do him a thing. The lion was hungry. And when he first put him into the den, as he was falling into the den, the lion was saying, "Boy, finally the Lord provides something for me to eat." But when he ended up there, the lion says, "Nah, I'm not hungry anymore." What's the moral of the story? Every single one of us going to have our Babylonian experience. Every one of us. Every one of us. We're going to be tempted and enticed. And it's going to seem too good to be true. Because the temptation is going to come across as affirming our worth. The king wants to feed you. The king wants you to drink wine. But you're going to have the courage to be different. And our world needs more than everything else today some individuals that are courageous enough to stand up and be different. Here's the question: are you prepared to be different, to be yourself, to live out your own uniqueness, to recognize that God has given you everything you need so you don't have to lower your moral standards in order to get by? And when they offer to buy you, having the courage to say, "Well, no, I'm not for sale." When you are enticed to compromise your core values, having the ability to say, "Not me, I belong to the Lord." That is what we want to be able to do so that our God can count on us and be glorified from our courage, our conviction, and the choices that we make. I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning.